Chapter 1, let's read, then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer first, and then we'll read. Lord, thank you for your goodness, for your grace. We thank you for all you've done for us. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. We ask you to watch over us this morning. God, guide our lips. Lord, I pray that you'd help us how we hear your word this morning. Lord, you told us to be careful how we hear. I pray you'd help us to hear correctly. Pray you'd watch over us, guide us. Well, thank you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. All right, this audio is ringing up here pretty bad. I don't know if I'm the only one that can hear that or not, but if somebody can fix that, I'd appreciate it. All right, Colossians chapter 1, let's read. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. All right, I think that'd be enough to read. We're going to start going through the book of Colossians this morning. I think it's good, especially for the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians. I think it's good to go through in a Sunday school setting, go through verse by verse through the book. In this case, I think we're just going to try to preach through these things rather than spend a whole lot of time on these things. Feel a little bit awkward this morning. Maybe I didn't get enough sleep last night. Maybe you didn't. One of us didn't. Amen. I don't know what the case might be. But at any rate, I know this. We need the scripture this morning, and I pray God will help us this morning. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Just want to point out one thing in that verse. I think we could go through maybe two or three different things about this. We could go through what an apostle is, but I don't really feel led to do that this morning. But one thing here that sticks out to me this morning in particular, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And we will think about that a little bit this morning. The will of God, that's a great big topic. That's a great big statement. And very few of us think very much about the will of God. What is the will of God? Most of the time we think about what our own will is. What am I going to do today? What am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do? And most of the time, we rarely think, what am I going to do to get myself into the will of God? That's what we should be thinking, but we don't do too much thinking that way. And Paul is really going to bring that to bear here in this passage. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace and be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse number 3 says, we give thanks for you. We'll get back to that here in just a little bit. Verse 5, he said that there is a hope that is laid up for you in heaven, something for you to work forward to. And then as he goes down through verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, so forth and so on. Verse number 9, he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you that and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So one of Paul's main prayers here in this opening statement of the book of Colossians is that he says, I'm an apostle by the will of God. And basically he says, I'm praying that you'll be able to find the will of God for your life. And really, it's no big mystery. You know, a fellow gets saved and he begins to study the Bible a little bit. And the next question that he has is, what is the will of God for me? Amen. And that's a really, really easy question to answer. And it's a really complex question to answer. The easy side of it is that the will of God for you is the will of God for every single Christian. There is no difference in the will of God for you than there is for me, or that there is for Pastor Ryman, or that there is for Brother Mark McGahee, or Brother Glenn Stocker, or any of the preachers you know and like. The will of God for you is the same as the will of God for them. Now, when you go over to Romans chapter 1, Paul talks a little bit. And, of course, we don't have time to go through all of Romans 1 this morning. But as he talks, he said that you are the called of Jesus Christ. You're the called. And so Paul said, I'm an apostle. He says in Romans 1, he says, I'm a servant. And he talks about the gospel a little bit. And he said, we've got apostleship for the obedience of course, he's talking about the gospel, throughout all the world. He says, it's our job to go and preach and teach and to have people come to the knowledge of the truth. And he says, you folks at Rome, you're also the called of Jesus Christ. Your calling is what Paul's calling is. Now, we all get saved the same way. Amen. It's not that I'm saved by baptism and you're saved by doing 15 weeks of discipleship. Amen. Amen? It's not that I'm saved by giving $2,000 a year and you're saved by giving, you know, $1 million a year. We don't have different degrees of things we got to get worked out in our life. You were a sinner, and you need to be saved. Amen. We're going to talk about a little bit in the morning service the fact that you were without Christ. You say, well, before I got saved, I was this. And one says, before I got saved, I was this. Before you got saved, you were without Christ. That's what you was. Amen. That was your problem. That was my problem. That was everybody's problem. And that was your chief problem. Amen. Amen. I'd like to give my testimony. Before I got saved, I was without Christ. That's the testimony. That is your testimony. That is what's wrong with you. Well, I did this or I did that because you were without Christ. You did that or you did this. Maybe your mama give you a whooping every day and you didn't do very much. Maybe your mama never gave you a whooping. You got into a whole bunch of stuff. But regardless, if you was the well-behaved little kid or if you was the hellion on your block, your problem was that you were without Christ. You were without him. You were far away. And in that sense, we all got saved the same. A long-haired, hippie, drunkard, meth addict comes down the altar and he gets saved by being washed in the blood. And a little Sunday school kid who's never heard the word hell comes down and gets saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no difference. No difference. There's no difference. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all got saved the same way. And we all got saved by the same Savior. We got saved by the same sacrifice. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We get saved the same. We're lost the same. There's no degrees of being lost. I do believe that there are different degrees of punishment. I certainly do. Now, you know, I'm not going to take you through Dante's nine levels of hell or anything. That's just a bunch of foolishness and stuff like that. But the Bible says to those Jews he was preaching to, he said in the day of judgment, it'd be better for Sodom and Gomorrah than it was for you bunch of religious hypocrites. Amen. I'm not going to make heroes out of, you know, criminals. I'm not going to do that. Shame on you. Amen. Shame on you. You ought to behave yourself. Amen. Well, I was a criminal. I was this or that. Well, shame on you. You shouldn't have been that. Somebody should have gave you a whooping. Amen. So I'm not going to make heroes out of that. But, you know, I do believe that one of the worst scoundrels there is not a thief. It's not a robber. One of the biggest scoundrels there is a religious scoundrel. Amen. It's a fellow that runs around and tells the community how to live while he's molesting kids. Amen. I'm talking about you Catholic priest. Amen. Like that or lump it. Your politician, your priest, whatever the case is. Like Bill Clinton, you're a pedophile lover as far as I'm concerned. You're welcome very much. Amen. And Creepy Joe, too. Amen. I vote for him to go to jail, not to the White House. Amen. 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 The only thing I don't understand is why you get him up there on stage and a grown man see this creeper with his hands all over your little daughter and see she's squirming around. If I ever catch you around my daughters and she's squirming like she's uncomfortable, I'm just going to punch you in the nose just to make sure I didn't miss nothing. Amen? Well, you just help yourself. You do what you want to with that. But that's just the way that it is. The most despicable of characters is somebody that puts themselves in a position of authority, but yet is especially religious authority, but is a crook or a criminal themselves. Amen. 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 Now we'll have to get into some more of that in the morning service. But I just wanted to put that out there to you to make this point out of this passage of Scripture, because you'll find that the book of Ephesians, and I'll be preaching out of Ephesians in the morning service, but the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians go hand in hand. As far as I'm concerned, they're just brother books, sister books, whatever you want to call them. But you're saved because you were without Christ, and you were saved by the same Savior. Amen? The Apostle Peter and the Apostle John didn't get saved by Jesus, but you get saved by going to church. That's right. Or getting baptized or confessing your sins to a priest or a man. Amen. Amen. That's just not the way you do it. You got saved by the same Savior. Amen. And so it just stands to reason then, doesn't it, that God's saving you for the same reason. Amen. God didn't save me to preach a sermon on Sunday morning and save you just to come to a church and hear a sermon on Sunday morning. God doesn't save a Sunday school teacher to teach Sunday school for the rest of his life while he saved you to watch Days of Our Lives for the rest of yours. Amen? That doesn't sound reasonable to me. It doesn't sound reasonable that God would save one and expect a life full of dedication from him while he only expects one to come to, you know, morning service on Christmas and Easter. But it does seem like, you know, we all have that, you know, that attitude. Well, I do all this work for the Lord, and we'll just let somebody else do the rest. All this work, you laid out of church 3 months in a row. I've really struggled with my Christianity. I've really tried to do better. I came to church Christmas and Easter this year. You're not struggling too hard. Amen. Amen. Of course, we'll talk a little bit more about that a little later, but you know, a lot of the heartache and the grief and the depression that you suffer from is because, well, if you go back to verse number 2 here, he says, to the saints and faithful brethren, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. I believe it's real hard to live inside that peace if you're not living inside of what God's will is for you. When God saved me, it was God's will for me to be a witness. When God saved you, it was God's will for you to be a witness. Amen. Amen. And we come far short of being the witness for Christ that we ought to. We were born, we lived through ever how many years of life that we lived through. It's different for each one of us. But we lived through all those years without Christ and going our own way. We might have been very sinful. We might have been well-trained, but we were still sinful. We might have been well-trained. We might have been ill-trained. Doesn't make any difference. We all went our own way till we were saved and rescued from hell. But we're going to go through the rest of our life and not say anything to anybody about it. I don't know why. I guess we feel it might hurt our reputation. We might get laughed at. We might be mocked at. But on the downside of that, you're hiding what inside your head you profess to be the greatest thing ever. If you found a pit full of, you'd hide that too. I was going to say, if you found a pit full of money, you'd be shouting it all over the place. No, you probably wouldn't. You probably would hide that too. So I don't know what illustration I could use for that, except for to say that you found the greatest thing that could be found in this life, and this world's good, and maybe the riches of this world or the reputation of this world or the praise from this world means more to you than preaching the gospel. Amen. And that's really the will of God in a nutshell. If I'm to be faithful, it's to be faithful inside the parameters of the gospel. If I'm to be righteous in any measure whatsoever, if I'm to do good, which Baptists have a problem with, oh, we're all unrighteous and all of our righteousness is filthy rags. I understand that, but what about Ephesians? We're not saved by works. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Everybody memorize those in Sunday school. And we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace, amen? But the very next verse says that you're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, amen? So I find that Baptists are very selective in their verse memorization, amen? Some folks select not to memorize any. I select to memorize them and forget them as soon as possible. Of course, that's a defect in my own mind. But at any rate, what I'm trying to get across to you is that whatever you were before you got saved, you were without Christ. Whatever you are when you got saved, you have a purpose. You have something to do which could just be described as the will of God in your life. And you best get about it. You best get busy on it. Now, I guess we could be a lot nicer and be more calm and calm down and be very clear and present the message in such a clear and concise manner that everyone could leave asleep. But listen, the time for feeling like you've got decades and decades and decades to do something for the Lord in this world that we're living is quickly passing away. I don't know when the rapture will be. I don't know when the advent will be. At least I don't know what day it's going to be on, what hour it's going to be in. I don't know all of that stuff right off the top of my head, but I do know this. It doesn't take a genius to look around and see that this world is slipping away. It's slipping away very fast. And the people, listen, I used to read in my Bible, and I couldn't imagine coming from the backwoods of Virginia and North Carolina and everybody, you know, on Main Street and Elm Street and Big Oak Street and all this stuff, they all had a Bible and we went to such and such Baptist church. I couldn't imagine a day when God would whip people and when God would judge people, but their response would be to shake their fist at him and be mad at him and curse him. And it's funny how people curse a God they don't believe in. Did you know I've never cursed Santa Claus one time? Amen. I've never gotten mad at Santa Claus. I've never marched against Santa Claus. Have you? Because he's not real. Some of you are saying, oh, I hope my kid down in Sunday school class didn't hear that. Shame on you.
Amen. Amen.
I've had down in Georgia, I had a family get mad at me. You said Santa Claus wasn't real. Yeah, I'll say it again. Like I punched his mother in the nose or something. Gave his mom, I hit his mother or something when I said there wasn't such a thing as Santa Claus. What's the matter with you, man? My kid, we haven't told our kid yet. Well, that's not my problem. I've never told my kid there was one.
Amen.
That bothered me. You lied to your kid. You figure out what you're going to do.
Amen.
Amen. What am I supposed to tell him? I don't care. You done got his mind messed up. I don't care what you tell him.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen?
Amen? Oh, parents are funny. Parents sure are funny. Get ready to go to youth camp or something like that. Send your kids off to youth camp. They come back. Oh, I got right with God. Well, that ain't going to last very long. I know. They live with you.
Amen.
That ain't going to last very long at all. Only take about a week for a youth leader to get them straightened out a little bit in their mind.
Amen. Right.
Amen. And then get them come back and take you 2 weeks to mess them up.
Right.
Well, they're yours.
Right.
And the time's slipping away to do something with them, I'm telling you that.
Yes,
sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You say what? The will of God. There's only a specific amount of time in this world to get it done. Once this life is over, and whether it be that you go by the grave or whether the rapture takes place or whatever the case might be, time is slipping away. Time is slipping away. You'll be 15 years old running around wishing you was 25, and the next thing you'll look back, you'll be 45 wondering where it went. Amen. Amen. Then you'll look down. If the Bible says you have 70 years to go, one of these days you'll look around and say you got 15, 20 years left.
Amen.
Yes, sir. And then what will it matter?
Amen.
The excuses that you use not to witness.
Amen.
Amen. You think there's not teenage boys and teenage girls wandering around? All they worried about is how many followers they got on TikTok or, amen, what they look like in yogurt pants. You're welcome. Lord have mercy on me. I took the girls downtown. We went to Hobby Lobby. Amen. Now Dover must be getting revival. They've got a Chick-fil-A and a Hobby Lobby. Amen. Then we stopped by Walmart on the way back, and it's one of these crippling events, but there is like a 75-year-old woman in Walmart with yogurt pants on. And why? Why would you do that? I don't see why you would walk around naked in Walmart if you were 15 or 25 or 35. But some things is just an assault on your mind. Amen. You ought to be put in jail for it. But at any rate, people are more worried about that stuff. And it seems like some new fad like that, that makes you look like a bigger and a bigger and a bigger idiot. Now, I understand they put it all over the internet. They put it all over TV. And these women that's been in the gym like 30 hours out of a day, they are supposed to look good in those things. You do not look like that. Amen? And you fellas go to the gym and work it out and get, you know, your muscles begin to get sore a little bit, so you think you've arrived. Because you look at this guy on the side of this Mega Man jug of stuff, you don't look like that. You just don't look like that. You can spike your hair up and cut it off and do what? You don't look like that.
Amen.
But that's what you're worried about.
That's right.
And that's what you're trading the will of God for.
That's right.
Amen? And whether it's immodesty or pride, makes no difference at all. At the end of the day, it's missed opportunities for you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And don't think for one second that the devil's not smart enough. Don't think for one second that the devil is not smart enough. Once you've escaped from that mentality, to turn around and give you the same mentality in the Christian life. You was worried about muscles or rear ends or what you look like in a dress. You was worried about that stuff before you got saved. And after you get saved, you'll walk around worried about what color shirt does the guy got on? What color shirt do I got to wear today? How do I got to cut my hair? You'll be worried about stuff like that. The same stuff you were worried about when you were ignoring the will of God. Now that you're saved, the devil will turn your mind to that same mentality. Knowing good and well, right here in the book of Colossians, it says all this touch not, taste not, handle not stuff is not what you're about in the Christian life. We'll get to that, I suppose, if we ever get through the book of Colossians. But what I'm talking to you about this morning is not how you dress, not how you look, not how you would appear to others. It's how do you appear to God.
Amen.
How does God see you? What does your conscience tell you at the end of the day? When you lay your head on your pillow at the end of the day, do you say, I've done the will of God today? At the end of Paul's life, he says, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. He said, I've finished the course that God had, the course that God has for his life. The devil has a course for you, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, and God has a course for you. Paul said, I finished my course. You know what else Paul said at one point in his life? Paul said, he said, I'm free from the blood of all men. That's a statement and a half right there. Now, I don't know what all, and I guess that's something good to study. I don't know what all that encompasses, what all you would have to do to be free from the blood of all men, but I imagine he took the opportunities that he had to witness. Amen? I would say he took the opportunity that he had to study his Bible.
Amen.
Oh, I wish you preachers would find something else to preach besides studying your Bible. Well, where else are you going to get the strength you need, the knowledge you need? Well, in verse number 9, he said you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Where are you going to get that at?
Amen.
You think God's going to take enough? You think God's going to take the time to create this world, to suffer through the Old Testament, to live and die on the cross, and then turn it over to some priest to tell you how you're supposed to live so that that priest can get it exactly wrong? Absolutely not. You've got a book right there in your lap. I would recommend you spend more time in that book than you do on Facebook. Amen. But some of you know more Elvis lyrics than you do Bible verses. That's just the plain and simple fact of it. You know what I believe? I believe that this COVID stuff is just, oh, Brother Mike, COVID ain't nothing. It's enough, ain't it? I've been praying that it'll go away.
Yeah.
When David numbered the people and God began to go through and start killing folks, David said, that's enough. That's enough. He prayed, he cried out to God and said, put away your sword. Well, only 1%. Well, ain't that enough? Now, I realize in the grand, I know what the argument is about. I understand where you're coming from in that. But listen, if a disease comes through in which the percentage of people dying from it is relatively low and it changes the world as it has, what is going to happen when God does the next thing? Because whether you, I don't care what your argument is, whether you believe China did it, or whether you believe Bill Clinton did it, or whether you believe the reptilians did it, or whether you believe it's the natural response of the atmosphere moving across the flat earth, I don't care why you think it, I don't care why you think it come to pass. I don't care nothing about that. What I do believe, regardless of what you think, is that God is allowing this thing in order to change the way you live. Amen? Because I don't know if you have ever took a glance at the history of this world, or maybe even the history of the Bible, but God doesn't let people or nations go a very long time with their back turned to Him. Just doesn't do it. In the Old Testament, God took Israel and turned them over to Nebuchadnezzar. And the story doesn't go very far before Nebuchadnezzar gets lifted up with pride and God thumps him in the head. Whether you claim to be God's people or whether you don't claim to be God's people, you're not going to live with your back turned to God. And the closer we get to the book of Revelation, the closer we get to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the closer we get to Matthew chapter 24, things are going to tighten up. This COVID thing is not going to go away and you're going to go back to thumbing your nose at God and watching pornography and doing whatever you want to do. It's not going to be that way. And you can laugh and make jokes, and you can laugh at the preacher, and you can mock and make fun. You can do whatever you want to do. But things are not going to go back to the place where you're living a life of ease while you're at the same time thumbing your nose at the will of God. And I'm talking to God's people. We think it a normal thing and a natural thing for the world to go the course of the world and for the world to go the way of the disobedient. We expect it of them, but God's people are supposed to be a light to those people, not supposed to be hiding from those people. Not supposed to be doing that. And I sometimes, just in my flesh, I find it difficult, don't you? And I've never seen it like this at any point in time in my life. But you try to tell people about Christ at work, you try to invite them to church, and it almost seems like it's animosity in their response. I'm not saying that I've never met a hostile response, but it seems like the norm in this day and time rather than, I mean, it used to be when you'd go out and witness and try to tell people about the Lord and invite them to church, you would have good response, good response, good response. And then every once in a while, you'd have somebody really get hostile and slam a door or something like that. That didn't seem to be any big deal. But it seems like I've never seen a day and time when 21-year-old people were hostile. But that's the day that we live in. That's the day that we live in. And so I believe that instead of just doing what's necessary and maybe suffering for Christ a little bit, they're not burning you at the stake. They're only slamming the door in your face. But at any rate, I think most more people are going to just try to take the edge off and go with the flow. And you go with the flow, all right. Yeah. Amen. You'll go with the flow, all right. I think it was Brother Stocker and Brother Soche back in our August meeting gave the church moving with the world illustration. And that's a good old illustration, but it's true. Yeah. The church just going along with the flow, just following right along. They progress, you progress. They progress. One of these days, look like to me, the church going to catch up. Right. Yeah. Amen? In some ways, I think the church caught up maybe past the world a little bit. Yeah. Wouldn't think that would be possible, would you? But at any rate, the light goes out in the church. There's nothing that I could expect but that the world would get in a place where they would have animosity. You know why I believe the world has animosity toward the church and why folks respond very poorly to a Christian witness is because they see you. And when I say you, I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I'm talking about they see the church. They see the flippant attitude of the church towards God. God become a jack-in-the-box. I feel bad today. And that's not your prayer, that's your Facebook post. I'm mad at him, I'm mad at her, I'm tired of this. And that's the way the church sees you. They see you saying, I love Jesus. And then your next Facebook post got three curse words in it.
Yeah.
You talk worse than they do.
Yeah.
And then call it the grace of God.
Amen.
So then you come, sir, can I tell you about Jesus? Not on your life.
Amen?
Amen? Christian mad, got a bad attitude all the time. Let me tell you about Jesus. No thanks, I'm depressed enough.
Amen.
Does that make sense to anybody but me? I tell you what, I just don't know. I just don't know how far we can go as a church when we live like the world and act like the world, and then but still at the same time try to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that if you're saved and washed from your sins and you're supposed to have peace and joy and you're supposed to have life and you're supposed to have life more abundantly, it doesn't make sense for you to tell somebody who seems like they have more joy than you that you have the answer for them. That just ain't the case. If your mouth is messed up, if your heart is messed up, if your mind is messed up, you can't help anybody else. You're inviting them to church every week, but you look like you're living rougher than they are.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, Brother Mike, this is the Sunday school. He should be teaching this on Monday night revival service. No, sir. I'm talking to you folks.
Amen.
The Bible says judgment must begin at the house of God. It's us.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
If you get your core group of the church, most people, the core group of the church gets together. Everybody ought to have they ought to have a wonderful time, but we're not living. Everybody talks about the Philadelphia church age, Laodicea church age. I don't know about all that stuff, but I know we're living in a day and time where us Christians are about as carnal as can be imagined. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Christian fellowship is no longer about Christ. It's about us. It's about things. It's about football games. I don't know how you're going to watch an NFL football game this year with a straight mind and a good conscience.
That's right.
Amen. I just don't know how you could do it. NBA, don't know how you could do it.
Right.
I just don't know how you could do it.
Amen.
But they will. I don't know. Listen. I don't know how you could watch a Disney movie. I don't know how you could go to Disney World. I just don't know. But Christians will, and Christians will get mad at me for saying that.
Sure.
Listen, a Christian in this day and time, they won't get mad at Disney, though Disney throws millions of dollars towards pedophiles.
Right.
They throw millions of dollars towards homosexuals. Millions, millions.
Right.
When it came up in Georgia, a vote in the government of Georgia, Georgia was going to pass a law that said all this I don't know what it all is, but ungodliness, that's what, L-G-U-N-G-O-D-L, ungodliness, that's what it is.
Amen.
Georgia was going to say all these federal laws that's being passed about protecting homosexuals and protecting all these things, we're going to protect Christians.
Amen.
And Disney World said, we'll pull every dime we've got in Georgia out of Georgia if you pass that thing. What'd they do? Government officials turned it right on their head and said, well, we can't pass this. Have fun playing with Minnie and Mickey at Disney World this year, you reprobate.
Amen.
You sorry dog, you. Well, people are going to run off. Well, let me know before you go. I'll go. I don't care. It don't make no difference to me. I'm telling you right now, you have all the fun you want down at Disney World. You're welcome. Thank you very much. Those people hate God,
Every dime they make gets dedicated to hating God. And ain't no Christian in any that's got any sense in their brain got any business down there. You're welcome. Is that true or ain't it? Why don't we get right over stuff like that? You say amen, say yes, sir, but be right in the hog pen once you get home. Get right in the hog pen. Oh, preacher, like you used to have the most wonderful illustration about people. Christians. You know, the Bible says the hog goes back to its wallowing in the mire. And preacher, like you said, some of you can't wait to slip off your little church pew and get right back down to your little living rooms in front of that television, just waller in it.
Right.
Just waller around in it. And Dr. Ruckman used to say, you'll say, I know what to watch, preacher, but he said, but what are you watching? You could find something good to watch, but that ain't what you're watching.
Amen.
Amen. What are you talking about, Brother Mike? The will of God. You want me to tell you what the will of God is? It's what you ain't doing. That's simple. I'd put it in the Greek for you if I knew Greek, but that's just the plain simple truth. The will of God is everything you're not doing as a Christian. Amen. Some of you preachers get up and preach without praying. That's despicable. That's despicable. So, Brother Mike, how do you figure out what to preach on? Pray. Don't ask my wife. Never have a, what do you think I should preach this week, darling? It ain't none of her business. It's God's business. Now, how are you going to find out what God's business is? How can I find out what God's will is without getting down on my knees and talking to him? God help me.
Yeah. Amen.
Brother Mike, you always preach stuff that kind of makes people mad. Well, that's God's fault.
You're right.
I can't even, that message y'all want to hear, I can't even find that in the Bible. I hadn't found that chapter and verse yet. It's not in there. That's a God's honest truth. The Bible says in the last days people have itching ears. Oh, teach us about this. Teach us about that. Teach us about this. But that ain't it. I mean, why should I spend 10 minutes on a gap theory teaching it was true or teaching it was not true when your mind's so messed up in the gutter?
Amen.
You can't even bring yourself to invite the person that works next to you to church with you. They probably don't even know you're saved. You'd be surprised, Brother Heath, how many people in the Baptist church don't, their workmates and stuff like that don't even know they go to church. Some of them's mom and daddies don't even know they're going to church. That's true. That's good and right and true. Pretty rough, ain't it? Yes, sir. Well, they don't believe. That's not the issue when it comes to God's will. Did you know that Jesus knew what his ministry was going to be before he ministered it? Did you know that God knew what Adam was going to do before he made Adam? And he went right on ahead and made him. Jesus knew, the Bible gives you the kind of a hindsight as a foresight in John chapter 1. He came to his own received him not. He told you that before the story even got started. You don't have to read all the way through the book of John to figure out Jesus got crucified. I mean, you don't have to read all the way through the book of John to find out they didn't believe him. Chapter number 1 starts out, they didn't believe him. I just paraphrased a little bit. He went right ahead and lived all the way through he did the whole book of John. He went through the whole process, book of John. You say, why? Because that was God's will. So, well, I tell my family about Jesus, they're not going to believe. Do it anyway. That's God's will for you. Well, if I come to church tonight, I'm not going to learn nothing. But it's God's will for you. don't know if I can make it Wednesday night or not. But it's God's will for you. That's what God's will for you is. Well, I feel bad. I feel so bad on Wednesday night. I feel bad every day. Amen? Wait till you start. I see some fellas, you know, they play basketball over here. I see them afterwards that, you know, they're 25 years old. My knees, my ankles. Oh, wait till you pile 25 more on top of that. Yes, sir. I play one time a month, and, well, I play once and then have to recover for 2 months. And see, I'll be back with you guys in, you know, 3 or 4 more weeks. But we all feel bad. We've all got feelings. We're all depressed if we go very far without praying. Nobody, you're not special, you're not different. All of us are the same. The Bible says a few things that encompasses all. All we like sheep have gone astray. Amen. It's all of us. And then he says this, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Amen. We all want to, from time to time, in the flesh, I'm saying, we all want to go back and do some things we used to enjoy in the flesh. Yeah. But we have the Spirit. And oh, I don't have time for that, but maybe I'll pick it up next week. The Bible says we have the Spirit of God in our hearts. And that Spirit of God has a controversy with the flesh. And that Spirit of God is saying, I've got a job for you. I've got a will for you. And just maybe this morning is just a little wake-up call that it's time to quit piddling. And there's things you can do in this world. You can have fun. You can have recreation. You can have all these things, but not at the expense of God's will in your life. And every once in a while, I think we need a little ruler on the backside of the hand like they used to do in class, just as a reminder, just as a wake-up call. You've got a job to do. And whether you know it or not, here in 2020, the worst of all years, opportunity's slipping away. Opportunity's slipping away. In my whole life, I've never seen a year like 2020. It's the strangest, weirdest, oddest year I've ever seen in my life. Maybe you've seen worse because of particular situations, but in my own heart and in my own mind, 2020 can be nothing but a wake-up call from God. It is a wake-up call from God to get busy. To get busy. And I believe 2021 will be a direct reflection on how we respond to 2020. I absolutely do. I absolutely do. I believe that God always gives us wake-up calls. God always gives us warning signs. How many times do we look back in the Word of God and see that men pass those signs right by with hard hearts? Let's not let that be us. The rest of the world and their churches and their religions can let it pass on by. But let's not let that be us. Amen? Lord, we do thank you for your goodness and for your grace. Pray you'd help us this morning. Pray you'd have mercy on us this morning. Pray, oh God, you'd let the Word of God drill deep in our hearts, God, myself included. Lord, this is not a message directed at the church. This message directed at me. This message directed at all of us, dear God. I pray you'd help us to wake up from the stupor we've been living under, to wake up, God, from the foolishness that we've been chasing after, and help us, oh God, to be real and to look at things from the right perspective, and God, choose the right and choose the will of God in our hearts and lives to go forward, and Lord, to do the thing that you've left us here to do, to find your will, to give your glory, to follow your leadership, God, to be humble, God, before our Maker, and I pray you'd help us to do that before it's too late. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. All right, take a little break this morning.